that it works together for good. You know, and because we know it, we also get the experience of it, the gnosko of it. And that's something, you know, the whole idea in Romans chapter 1, you wonder how somebody who loved God as much as Martin, if you read about Martin Luther, he had this troubled spirit, this demon within him, so to speak, just eating away at him. That, you know how we sing the song, more about Jesus, more about Jesus. That was his, and I guess there's good demons and bad demons. That was his demon in the sense that it drove him to constantly want to know more about God, to the just driving him, you know, without ceasing. He just couldn't stop himself. I have to get to God, and I don't know how to do it. And Martin Luther is driven. He's driven to get closer to God, and he just can't stop. I have to know more. What more can I do? And as he's trying to do more, that's why I'm calling it a demon. He's trying to, you know, work and work, you know, for the night is coming. He's trying to work his way closer to God. And whatever you ask, God, I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what it is. If I need to be martyred, that's fine. What do I need to do? When he came across the text in Romans chapter 1, and it's written several times, it's written in Habakkuk, you know, which is an interesting book, small book, but a lot of history there. And he reads the words, imagine being tormented by the thought, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. What more can I do? Yeah. What else is there that I've given my life over to you? And here he is, a monk. Here he is trying to do everything he possibly can. And he's probably read it 1,000 times before. And as he's trying to get, he's not walking up the steps on his knees. He's crawling to God is what he's doing. We're saying as he's tormenting himself in penance, Martin Luther wasn't tormenting himself in the penance. He's doing whatever he could to get closer to God. When the revelation finally hits him, the just shall live by faith. And immediately, this light goes off that I'm trying to get somewhere that I already am. You know, it's one of those light bulb moments. And his entire life changes. And because one person got that message, everything. We say, what difference can one person make? And we say, yeah, we know Jesus, but he was God. Think about any one major person. George Washington. Martin Luther. Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Gandhi. What difference can one person make? The just shall live by faith. And Scripture then tells us in Romans chapter 12, I believe is where he says it, 12:3. The last part, it says, God, because I believe God put this in the Bible, because maybe you felt this way sometimes. Tell me who I am to you, who I am to you. And we say, I just don't have faith. This scripture tells you that somebody's not telling the truth. Either you or God. I'm going with God. Because God says in Romans 12:3, God distributed a measure of faith to each one. Before we've put a quart jar up, well, there's a bottle of water, 16-ounce bottle of water. In Bible times, a measure, when this was written, you've seen Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which if we had a mustard seed in here, you wouldn't be able to see it. It's so small. Whoa. We gave everybody mustard seeds, if you remember. And God says in Romans 12:3, I've given to everyone a measure of faith. So in this much, you wouldn't be able to see it. So if God only needs a mustard seed and he gave you this much, the just shall live by faith. That should be enough, shouldn't it? Amen. However, he didn't give us this much. He gave us a measure in Bible times was 4 of these. You put 4 of them lined up. That would be God has given to you a measure of faith. 4 pints, 2 quarts of faith. He literally says you don't need that much. You need, it would be that much. If I was holding a mustard seed between my fingers, it would be that much. Can you see it? That's how much. That's all you need. That much. And he says, and that not of yourselves. I've given you what you need. The just shall live by what I've already given you. What you already have. Can you imagine starving to death with a full pantry? That's what it would be like. It would be somebody coming in and saying, well, see, women might understand this, men wouldn't. There isn't a one of us here that can't open our closets and see more than one thing. Women will open the closet and say, I don't have a thing to wear. I don't have enough faith. You have something to wear. You have more than enough. I told you about my friend who bought his wife an outfit for her birthday, and the biggest argument they ever got into in their marriage was when she said, I don't have a thing to wear, church. And he said, well, why don't you wear your birthday suit? And they got into this huge discussion. But she was talking about something totally different than him. He was talking about the suit he gave her for her birthday. She was talking about her birthday suit. I don't have enough faith. God has given to everyone a measure of faith. That's enough. Whatever comes our way, people, and trust me, as I watch what's going on in the world, when you see, we're almost driven by, I don't know if you're like me. Can you drive past the gas station anymore without looking at the price? And do you expect it to be the same the next time you go by? That's the world we live in. We have faith. How many of you believe gas prices are going to go up in the near future? That's faith. Yeah. You go, no, that's a guarantee. No, it's not. That's faith. God says we already have it. How does he know we have it? He's given it to us. Why would we not use what he's already given? The just shall live by faith. But I don't have any. You have it because... In the Navy, they used to tell us, I remember when Kay and I got married and I went back and I said, by the way, I was home on leave. I went and got married. They said, if the Navy wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one. Yeah. See, a Christian, we're in the Lord's army. He's not going to tell you you need something that he hasn't issued. He's issued it to you. More than enough. More than enough. He tells us in Romans 12 that he's distributed so much faith to us. And we have to, people, in these times, that's why you have to go, you know, what Aaron was talking about, what we talked about last week, you have to go with the facts. It's the faith factor. Yeah. Faith has been given to you. That's a fact. It says it in Scripture. That's a fact. He says that's how you live, is by faith. And then he gives us example after example after example. It says, now faith is the reality in Hebrews chapter 11. Is the reality of what is hoped for. I believe the way Barbara Howe used to put it was, faith is speaking to those things that are not as though they are. Faith, it says in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is, this is what you've been given a measure of, two quarts of. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what you can't see. How do I know it? Faith. Jesus is coming. How do I know it? God said it. He gave me to know what I can't see. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. People, I can't see the IRS. Yeah. And many of you get paychecks. I get probably pays me, but I don't get a stub like y'all get. So I can't physically look and say, hello, look what the IRS taught. But I know they exist. I know they exist. I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't believe they don't exist. It says, now faith is the reality of what I hope for. People, I don't know what you hope for. Martin Luther hoped for this relationship with Jesus. And then he realized, and it changed his life. But it didn't change his life, it changed the world. The whole world as they knew it was changed by one text and one man. God is wanting to do that. There are people today that don't know of Jesus. They don't know how good God is. They don't know. See, we knew, you know, Summit needed a vehicle a couple years ago. But we didn't know what kind or what color. But God did. We just thought, let's be nice and surprise Summit. But we didn't surprise Sonic. God surprised us. Because faith is the reality of what is not seen. What we didn't see was she was asking God for a black Volkswagen. We thought it was just a car. But we handed her the keys. Reality of what is not seen. We didn't see everything going on behind the scenes. God sees that. Faith, and we know he does it. Let's face it, people. Look around. We can't afford to give vehicles away. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can. We can. Yeah. I'm kind of pained and relieved when I think about all the work that went into, you know, nobody's come forward about the book bags. So, yeah, that's a lot less work in one sense. But the reality is, I'm telling you right now, God has somebody. May not be here. May be in another church. But those kids aren't going to stop being God's kids just because I don't do it. When the time came and Sonnet needed another vehicle, he didn't use us. He used CarMax. All I'm saying is God wants to do things. He wants to reveal himself. What are you hoping for? And are your hopes mustard seed hopes? Because that's enough to remove mountains. Or 2-quart hopes. 4-bottle hopes. Yeah. 4 of these hopes. God says you have enough. You have enough. The things hoped for. I know you can't see it. Martin Luther never saw the Reformation. All he saw was, wow, what I've been going for, I already have. That was it. And he literally changed the world as it was. you look in Hebrews 11, and they talk, it's the what they call the faith chapter. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, by faith, by faith. People, if Jesus is coming, faith, you better get it right. Because if you don't get right, you'll get left. That went right over your head, didn't it? If you don't get right, you'll get left. There's only two. He got it. Yeah. And it's about faith. He's already given it to you. Do you believe? See, I believe you believe Jesus is coming or you wouldn't be here. Then we need to start living like it. What is it he's asking you to do? Where is it he's asking you to go? What is it he's asking you to say? Who is it he's asking you to minister to? Last week, I believe it was, we closed with a story about the cowboy and the horse. You know, the whole idea of, you know, yeah, they weed out the ones who are willing to leave their friends behind. What friends are you willing to leave behind? Now look, some will leave you. People. There used to be a country song, but here in the real world, some of Jesus' friends left him. And if he couldn't keep all of his friends, I don't know why we think. Yeah. If he couldn't bat 1,000, yeah, he can walk up to one who's mending their net and say, which means he owned a business, he's a businessman, come, follow me. And the person gets up, it says, leaves their nets and follows him. Has somebody else who says, can I follow you? Yes. Well, this is what you need to do. And they go away, sorry. Jesus himself. Was it that Jesus lacked the faith? Because that's what churches say. Yeah. If you have enough faith, you can do anything. Does God not have enough faith? He lost a third of his angels. Does Jesus not have enough faith? He lost several of the scribes and Pharisees, probably the high priest, Judas. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you. And how do you make it? See, I'm not making it because I have a t-shirt that says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Yeah. It's because of who I know. It's about Jesus. He's good enough. Yeah. He isn't, he did enough. He's good enough. He is enough. And what has to happen in this faith factor is, tell me who I am to you. Who I am to you. Let me tell you who you are. Romans. Since Eddie brought it up, This is who you are. Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be, and you can have all your theological discussions about predestination, you know, but I'm reading what it says. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Who are you? Let me introduce you to my brother, then maybe you'll know. Yeah. I think the Amplified says, many brothers and sisters. Yeah. That's faith. Do you believe that? It's a fact. Faith isn't some willy-nilly hope. It's a fact because it's set fast. God gave it to me. I have it. I go forward in it. And because of it, I have a big brother. See, many of you may not have had brothers like I had. But it didn't matter what happened. I could make a phone call. And had at times passed. Yeah. Made a phone call to my brother. And if he wasn't available, one of his band of brothers, so to speak, would answer, and I remember calling because something happened and I needed something done. And the person answered. And before the next morning came, the job was done because of who my brother was. He was well able to get it done. Who's your brother? Yeah. The saying that's gone around or has gone around in the past few years is, who's your daddy? Romans 8:29 says, who's your brother? Yeah. I had a school teacher who said, are you like your brother? And I wasn't. My brother was a brainiac. Latin, musician. Yeah, straight A's, yeah. He went through school, I went through school, yeah. This says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What is it that God has set before you? It doesn't matter, because Jesus would say, see, we look at what we have, so did Jesus. Yeah. How many people are here? Well, there's 5,000 men plus women and children. Well, how much food we have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's enough. Your brother did that. See, if we talk about it as our Savior and a friend, but he's family. See, he's family. And we are predestined. See, my brother the Brainiac took Latin. I had a little bit of Latin. There is no way, people, that I'm telling you right now, there is no way I could get through Greek. But I did. Yeah. Just like my brother. just like conformed to the image. It doesn't matter. I know it looks impossible, but it's faith is what is hoped for. The problem is we don't hope for enough. Think about, you know, like you say, son wanted a black Volkswagen. Yeah, I wanted a white quad cab Dodge. Maybe we just didn't hope for enough. Maybe she should have hoped for a black new Volkswagen. And I should have hoped for a light-colored new. Maybe our hopes are just too small. Maybe Miss Polly should have hoped for, you know, the mother of all bonuses. I don't know. I know one thing. I'm not going to limit it anymore. I'm going to let my brother take care of that. And when I see what my brother can do, see, what I say now when people say, what do you think? I mean, look at the number of people. You really think you can do that? I said, evidently you didn't hear what my family has done in the past. Because God is my Father, and Jesus is my brother, and the precious Holy Spirit is my God. The devil's no relation, because I'm a new creation. I'm a part of the family in the sky. Right, bro? Let's bow our heads. Father, we need to get to this place where we realize if we don't get right, we get left. Father, you made the way. You gave us. You dealt to every man a measure. Father, more than enough. Have us seize the moment to get that adeo, that fact, faith. We don't believe in cunningly devised fables. We believe in facts that have taken place. Whether it's fish and loaves or fishermen walking on water, it's a fact. Whether it's a Catholic priest walking up the steps on his knees who gets a revelation, or a man that stands on the steps in Washington and says, I have a dream. Facts that change the world as we live in these times, Father. There are big shoes to fill. And you have called us for such a time as this. Use us to glorify yourself. Just like Jesus said about Lazarus, this has happened so that my Father who is in heaven can be glorified. Bring us for that purpose. Whether it's a friendship, Father, or a ministry. Let's do all to the glory of God. Through the faith that you've already given. We don't work toward the faith, we work from it. Thank you, Father, for the victory promised. Thank you for choosing us to live in these, the most exciting days in Earth's history. A time when we will get to see Jesus come. Oh, thank you, Father, for this privilege we have of being called sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, because you predestined us for it. Thank you. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. That's why he says, you want to know why he wants to protect, love and protect us? He says, the Lord bless and protect you. And you could add the word brother. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, brother. The Lord be gracious to you and look with favor on you and give you peace.